would you please put your hands together for Glenn Ring?
Thank you very much. Oh, boy. I have a problem. When Dave asked me to put this program together, I thought, good, I got all sorts of time to get this done. However, I put more hours on my tractor this winter, clearing snow, than I've put on it in the previous 10 years, combined. Maybe one other winter was close. It's been incredible. Yesterday morning when I left to come here, I wasn't sure I was going to make it. On President's Day, I left a Jeep for 2 days buried in a snowbank, 2 miles from home. This time I was a mile and a half from home, leaving to come here, and I barely made it through the snowdrift. Wasn't so sure I hadn't repeated the mistakes of the past just 2 weeks earlier. When I got 2 hours down the road, I checked on all this fancy information you get on your cars these days, and it said I would average 29 miles an hour. And that was on the interstate. And I felt I was overdriving. I'm serious. I was just, the wind was so strong and it was so glazed, I was just wobbling. Thankfully, I got to Illinois and only had to drive in 45 miles of rain late yesterday. I don't have time to do the job. What time do I get done, by the way? Does anybody know? What? 10:30. Yeah, 10:30. Good. By my watch, that means I've got an hour and 45 minutes. I don't have time to do the job, right? So what I'm going to do is give some quick education, and I'm going to also do something else I've never done before. Vince, you can attest to this. I have never given away my newsletter and information before. I have never done it. But I think we're in such critical times that I've got the fancy booth over there, two computers, over here, right by where Todd's standing. Blue slip. If you fill it out, give me an email address, fax number, or mail if need be. You can get 6 weeks of my newsletter for free. Never done this before. You can get 3 weeks of my daily report for free. But you have to have email or fax available to get that. We are not going to mail it out to you. It's that blue slip over there. Just fill it out and leave it. Along with that, you can get a folder of information like this and one folded newsletter next to it. That was hot off the presses. I picked it up on the way out of town. So it's over there. Help yourself. Now, I think I may have missed putting one file on here, and I hope I didn't. If I did, so be it. Hope I didn't. Now, this is going to drive somebody nuts. May 18th, 2007. I'm not going to get invited back because this is corn to end up at $31 to $40 a bushel. The move that happened in Minneapolis wheat was not a surprise to my farm club members. I've warned people those kind of moves were possible, entirely possible. Those of them that have been around the business long enough remember things like the Hunt Brothers squeeze in silver in 1980, Sugar in 1974. In fact, Sugar in 1974 essentially went from about 6 cents a pound to 68 cents a pound. Actually went a little further than that. Minneapolis wheat, post-1980 high, went from $2.50 to $25, exactly tenfold. In fact, this is something I teach in my advanced seminars. What I had done here, if you think these numbers are incredible, all I did was take the modern era lows and take the same advance the Dow had had. The Dow went up 20-fold. Actually, went more than 20-fold. It's gone over 24-fold. That would include, though, if you think this is great, cattle prices would also have to go to 900 to 1150 per hundredweight. Gas, you think gas at $3 to $4 a gallon hurts? Try $18 to $23 a gallon at self-serve pumps. So, we're done with this file. A little bit of education here to start. You want to just blow that up to full screen? How do we do it? Right there. Here is a market. It might look familiar to you. It probably shouldn't. On this market is a thing called, I've marked cycles. Not psychos, although that would be more applicable today. Cycles, from there to there to there to there to there to there. This happens to be a 45-month cycle. Anybody know what market that is? Soybeans? Nope. Wheat? Nope. Has anybody stopped for hot chocolate lately? It's cocoa. I want to show you something. I'm actually going to teach you something I have never taught for less than $14.95. And I don't mean like $15. And the decimal point goes after the five. I've never taught this before. I want you to understand. Don't take this and run. Because I spent 6 years studying it and refining it. I'm just going to give you the gist of it right now. I bought cocoa down here. I bought cocoa 7 times on that run. I got out on the top day. Now, granted, it was the low of the top day, not the top of the top day. I had good reason to believe I was getting done when I saw a big monthly bar, big monthly bar, big monthly bar. You had mama bar, papa bar, and baby bar. Actually, you had 3 big grizzly bars. It's very, very, very hard in my research for a market to sustain that kind of an event. The reason you cannot take this and run, I've done, like I said, I spent 6 years worth of work on bar patterns. At least that's what I told my wife. In the last year, I had to work on the markets. But I spent 6 years of research on these to get them in the right context. The ones I'm going to call out to your attention today are in the right context. If you use these in the wrong context, they'll rip your head off. Okay? But if you pick it up in oversimplifying, if you've had an extended move, and then you go wham, wham, wham. Can anybody give me an idea as to what the emotions might have been like then? Was it just really boring and calm and dead? Or do you suppose it was a lot like today in the grains? This happens to be the next projection I had, and I've been warning that what we've done here is something unusual. We have seen a marketplace where there is a force more powerful than the natural market forces. It's overpowering because the next cycle low was due right here, right now. Like February 29th would have been great, and we are at the highest price we have seen since the early 1980s. That's that blue line. We wired it. This is an inverted cycle. I don't know if it's going to stop. But when they stop, in fact, would you page down one? That was an inverted cycle. That was an inverted cycle. When it peaked, we were done. You notice that the market had quite the impressive move, and then we came back, gave it all back. Okay? And then some eventually. These are vertical rises. I've studied all the vertical rises like that. They're called parabolic shaped rises, and I've qualified them. Every one I have found going back a few years, except one, has given up at least 75% of what it went up. That one was cattle following the 1979 high. It came back 62%. A few years back, I've studied these back to 1600, and everyone I can find has done it. That doesn't mean they will again. Just everyone has, except for one. So be aware. The other thing I want you to notice is look at this right here. See this? That pattern? That's called an extended period of sideways trading. The fundamental truth about markets is that they alternate between periods of low volatility and high volatility. Do we have low or high volatility today? High. What did we have in the late 1990s in grains? Low. Yep. That pattern is so important to me that I wrote an entire book on it, wrote a manual on it. If you would take that one more page. I'm also going to show you one indicator today. It's called the Average Directional Movement Index, ADX, developed by Wells Wilder. For those of you that are taking notes, I use 14 bars on a daily. I use 9 bars on a weekly and a monthly, but it's too slow to be practical to use on a monthly. But you'll see it today in some of the markets. Click escape. Oh, just notice, when the ADX gets above 40 and turns down, it tells me that that directional move is likely ending. You will see that it gets overpowered. The same thing over here. It doesn't matter what direction it is. The ADX will rise if it's trending. If it's trending down, the ADX rises. When the ADX finally turned down, the market quit going down for that time. It doesn't tell you what you will do. It tells you what you are unlikely to do. Okay. Let's close this one. Now, a little other history for you. I do believe in studying at least short-term markets. Well, it depends, because this from 1800 to date. In one light, this looks like a long-term chart to you, right? I've studied this pattern back to before the time of Christ. So this is kind of a short-term pattern as well, relative to that. What this is the basic pattern of economic expansions. At the base of economic expansions are the mankind's basic needs throughout history. When it boils down to it, even for a while, people don't think they need them. The basic needs eventually come back to the forefront. Food, fiber, shelter, and now energy. I wrote about this in late 1990s of the coming expansion. This pattern, don't worry about the K-wave lows. Worry about swing one drive, two drives, three drives. Now, why isn't that a lot more? Well, you count those together, that makes one. I don't have time to teach it. If you know Elliot, you know it. If you don't, you don't. One drive, two drives, three drives. That's scary. Because when that drive ends, we typically come back at least to the area of this previous low. That's the 1998-2001 time frame. It's just general commodity and wholesale prices. These economic expansions back to the Romans' time have run 90 to 150 years. That one started in 1896-98. Let's see, 1908, we're in the window. I long believed that I would be close to picking out a final resting spot before we would see what might be happening today. I don't think it is, but what might be happening today, because there's one other thing that happens at the end of every one of these expansions. The currency system collapses. Even those that were based in gold. You ever heard of debasing gold, debasing a currency? I'd like to see somebody really, how many people can define what it means to debase a currency. I can tell you in very oversimplified terms. Back when the Romans had gold coins, or later, the kings of England, which, you know, king was a kingdom was about the size of a county. When they made people pay in gold, like their rent and everything else, the servants or serfs would take out their Swiss Army knife. They'd shave a little edge off of that gold coin and thereby collect gold dust, gold fragments, get this little bag of gold fragments over time. And what have they done? They've just created more currency out of that gold coin. They've inflated the currency. Today's time looks so much like the time of the Romans, it isn't funny when they tried to inflate themselves out of their deficits. Today we have a problem. Let's go ahead. It's called the dollar. For the person that asked the question about the dollar and fertilizer, I will say it's almost all the dollar, because I look at it from a different perspective than others do. I look at what is happening, not why. Why fertilizer prices are high might be because who's got the demand, who's got the insatiable appetite, but what is happening? I can show you by connecting the dollar. Thanks. Let's see. Ooh, I didn't open one. Maybe I did. This is the dollar in corn, dollar index. And it looks pretty impressive. Since the dollar has been allowed to float, the dollar has been the only 100% accurate lead indicator I have found for corn. I can match the turns in the dollar. Dollar bottoms goes up, corn tops goes down. Threw in a drought. Once the drought was over, market started back down. And for the longest time, the dollar index would lead corn. And it still does. To an extent. But one thing you'll notice is the dollar kept going up and up and up and up. After a while, a move in one direction does have diminishing impact on a market, plus the government was interfering by having an artificial floor. I'm not saying it's good or bad, that's just a fact. Because, guys, I don't have time to give you opinions. I'm giving you facts, giving you objective facts. In fact, I went into Rock Falls, Illinois, April of 2004, Monday night on the day that corn had topped for the year. I came in and I said, they told me I had 2 hours. They went on with other things. By the time I got up to speak, they said, you got 40 minutes. I said, I don't have time to give you opinions. Here's the facts. Bam, 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 bam. I said, you got a 97% probability that the corn topped today. I walked off the stage. Next speaker up is... says, I don't agree with Mr. Ring. I didn't give an opinion. I don't have an opinion today either. If I do, I'll tell you. The reality, though, I should not have, I'm all right, is you guys think you're doing really well right now? In prices? I don't. You have seen very little real growth in value. Throughout history, it may not be the best measure, but it's the best common denominator. Gold is universally recognized as a value, a measure of value. If you might have noticed in recent years, gold has gone up just a touch, right? Just about 4 times in value. From when gold bottomed, and you usually like to work off the bottoms, you notice that the price of the amount of bushels of corn it takes to buy an ounce of gold tends to hover around the 100 and a quarter to 150 bushels. Today, it takes like 134 bushels of corn to buy an ounce of gold. So it actually takes more bushels of corn today to buy an ounce of gold than it took when we were at the bottom in corn. This is corn priced in gold the other way around. In other words, corn prices are trying to rise against gold. Trying. Find the same thing in soybeans. Where did my soybean go? There. Soybeans were the first one. You're finally getting close in soybeans to buying the same amount of bushels you did when we were at the bottom in gold. Notice something. You might guess that this, I'll let you guess. Which market is that and which market is the yellow one? Which one is the gold-colored one? That's gold underneath corn. And you can see what happens. All in all, gold's gone up, corn followed. Gold's come down, corn followed. Gold went up, corn went up. Wait, there was a drought in 83. I know, but so did... you cannot deny the fact that they ran together. That one, and gold led the other. As you'll see in a little bit, a few weeks ago, I was on the radio show. After I was on the radio show, I got the feedback from several sources, God, you were bearish. I went back and listened to the radio show. My first thesis statement was, we're either going a lot lower or a lot higher. We aren't staying here. And I'll show you in a little bit why. But you see these relationships? Soybeans and gold. Wheat doesn't go quite as closely as gold. What you will also find if you take enough years of wheat out there and stuff like that, it can be a maverick. In other words, it can be a dun. Corn and beans turn down after gold peaks as a rule. Wheat sometimes turns with it, can even turn a little before it. But in general, they run together. So there's your bottom line. Back to this. So now, yeah, this is the one I want. We'll move on, and look what has happened. I measure the dollar in two ways. I measure the dollar in the dollar index, but that really isn't the value of the dollar. The dollar index is simply what other countries are willing to trade for it. It's an exchange against a basket of other currencies. What it doesn't tell you is if the value of all currencies are going up or all currencies are going down, you're going to get a different effect on the marketplace. Right now, all paper currencies have been falling in terms of gold. Because it takes more dollars, more francs, more euros, more yen to buy the same amount of gold it did a half a dozen years ago. So I also measure the dollar in gold. What I was looking at over here was, in fact, we'll go down, I think one more chart will do it. Remember I showed you earlier the ADX will tell me what's not going to happen? Turn down, quit going up. Turn down, quit going down for a time. Turn down, did not stop, got overpowered. That tells me how strong the force is. Over here, turn down, second downturn like that usually holds. Triples almost never fail to hold. And there you are. Over here, the dollar, when it bottoms, it usually rolls up, rolls down, and retests and starts up. And then we did the radio show. Because at the same time, I saw a top in gold. So, provided the dollar had bottomed, because that's where the discussion went, was about the dollar. Provided the dollar had bottomed, then we were looking at the end of the runs in the grains. And then our policymakers did something. They threw the dollar overboard. We are facing, I had written this before this happened. In my work, we are facing the greatest economic crisis in the domestic side of this country since the 1930s, since 1930. And I believe the Fed understands that. They also know what the forerunner of today's Fed did in 1930. They were so worried about inflation, they took a drowning economy and they held it underwater. They killed it. And despite what people think, the Fed can always pull on the string to put the brakes on the economy. It's really hard to push on the string to get it rolling. So they know that what doesn't work is to tighten when you have a dying economy and thus kill the economy, as we did in the 1930s. So they knew what not to do. They knew not to fight inflation right now. They don't know, and I don't know, if the right choice was to cut interest rates and inflate, but we knew the other choice was wrong. So it didn't work that way last time. We're going to go the other way this time. And they threw the dollar overboard. It's ultimately a result of man getting in the way, politicians, policymakers, in a system that does not lend itself to fiscal responsibility. It lends itself to getting reelected. If we had, and I'm not an advocate, guys, I am not an advocate out there, I'm an observer. But if we had term limits, if we had longer terms, one term, you know, put a senator in for 10 years, one term, put a president in for 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, one term, though, then they would have a vested interest in doing something to help fix the economy. But right now, the system doesn't lend itself to correcting because they don't want to let people suffer the corrections that keep people fiscally responsible. I remember my grandmother, who was just, to her dying day, panicked from a little girl about ever being without. Save, 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 save. I still remember Christmas presents were always the same thing. A can of food and $5. But that can of food represented something to a lady who went as much as a week without food when she was a child in the 30s. And what did people learn coming out of the 30s? To save, save, save. If we don't do it on our own, the system will force us to do it. I mean, the natural forces. And the longer you delay a correction, the longer you delay getting us back to saving, the worse the pain's going to be. Most of us make changes when what? The pleasure is great or the pain is great. That's what we're facing. Pain. That bottom, by all rights, should have held. But the market isn't wrong. It didn't hold. The strongest force right now is having thrown the dollar overboard. Now, there is something redeeming about this. See this bar right here? This big plunge of last week? There is a chance that that's the end of the run, end of the break. Based upon, again, the research I did for over 6 years on these things. As long as we limit losses this week in the dollar index, there's a chance this thing is bottoming right now. Because that, if you go back and look, you will see that market moves tend to end in one of two ways and often a combination of them. They either end with a bang or a whimper. I remember when this internet first got to be a craze and there was these chat rooms. It's the only time I've ever been on. I had somebody invite me in, and I was monitoring a market chat room. And this guy's running along. I said, well, it doesn't look like a bottom. And he said, well, it doesn't look like the top. And I finally wrote, do you know what a bottom looks like? And he smarted off that, well, no, not really. And later on, I said, well, you know, that doesn't look like a bottom. And he says, do you know what a bottom looks like? I said, yes, it looks like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And a top looks like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And one of the things you look for is a big bar, small bar event. If the week were over, I'd be salivating all over this thing as to the probability of bottoming. But the week's not over. So we shall see. The best thing I can get here is a solitary big bar down and really next to no follow through. Then we have a chance because, guys, you want the dollar to quit going down. Why? Well, it can't happen here. We've just seen $25 wheat without having a lot of additional value to it. Let me show you something I did. The debt bomb. These are notes I did when I was on WHO radio one day. Right there. In 1920, there were 40 German marks to buy $1. In 1922, it took 10 times as many, 12 times as many actually, to buy $1. In 1923, a year later, it took 100,000 more. 40 times 100,000 gives you 4 million. And in 1923, in November, four more months later, that's not tenfold, that's a billionfold more. We're messing with fire when the Fed through the and the Congress with their stimulus package threw the dollar overboard. We're messing with fire. If you think that $25 Minneapolis wheat is crazy, it isn't crazy if the dollar keeps falling. Now, I'll show you that there's, and by the way, have we run a balance of trade deficit in the last 35, 40 years? Have we? Nope. We've been importing goods, right? What have we been exporting? Dollars. Dollars. Why do you think the dollar's falling now? The world's awash in dollars. And a dollar's like any other commodity. Just see something. See this? 1923, a coin that had 3 years earlier been one mark is now 1 billion marks. This was the image was sent to me by a reader of mine who was in Austria on VE Day. Not the anniversary of the VE Day, Victory in Europe Day. And he had gotten this at one of the shops. You don't think it can happen here? Why? What is so sacred about the U.S. dollar that it can't do this? Anybody notice a currency crisis in the Far East in the late 1970s or 90s? Anybody remember a currency crisis in Mexico? All the other third world countries? Other? Guys, we are heading for a world-class standard of living. We have been living way up here, the world's been way down here, and we're going to come meet someplace. It ain't going to get better. We've got to experience the pain. Now, I think the fastest way I can show you that I know a little bit of what I'm talking about, this was from another meeting. These are the, how do I see a full page? There we go. That'll do. I had used this in a meeting back in 2001 when I said we're bottoming. This is the CRB index, the commodity. At that time, I thought it was the Dow of commodities. These were all countdowns of yearly times that landed all in 2001 or close enough. 5, 8 would have been great. 9's okay because that's also, again, multiple 12, 144 months, 12 years, 13 years, 18 years, all that good stuff. They all converged right there. People, I wrote, it's in, if you want to go back and dig out an old Futures magazine, you'll find this, I think that in an old Futures magazine where I wrote the story, the coming commodity boom. Crime and I didn't recognize how big it could be. I'll tell you why. The run we have just seen in commodity prices is unequaled in this country in terms of duration and amount of movement. But then again, the dollar wasn't floating prior to the early 1970s. It was fixed. The last time I find a run in prices that's like this is in the late 1620s France. You know what they did? They had allowed their currency to float. There's very few instances where the world dominant world currency has become a fiat currency, a promise-backed currency. The few instances that we've had prior to now, they all collapsed within 25 years. So the fact that we've made it about 35 years is really impressive. That's just like that story, you know, of the Alaskan bush pilot, you know, that flies out and crashes and he's all excited. And the passengers wonder why. He says, we made it 200 yards further than we did last year. That's kind of what we're looking at. The key is do we stabilize? Do we shut this collapse down in the dollar? I think what the Fed is counting on is trying to stimulate the domestic economy so that the domestic side of the economy catches fire in time to prevent a depression. I really believe that if the economy starts to show signs of stabilizing, the dollar will rise on its own. The other side of the coin is Europe right now have their real interest rates are at a level that, and I'm sorry I can't reference the guy, I don't remember his name, but an economist that I really respect did the work, and he went back, and 100% of the time when they've had real interest rates the way they've had, they followed with having to take interest rates down to 1% because they've over-choked the economy. So Europe is on the other side of the coin. I've got Australian customers that tell me they finally have wheat farms next to them that are not being farmed. Because they hedge in American dollars and they sell in Australian dollars. And so their price is low and their hedges are gone. They've got guys that have lost more in hedges than what their wheat's worth. Ouch. Now, let's move along. I've only got about 60 charts to go through in 9 minutes. It's part of the reason why I'm going to give away the newsletter. I can't. I'm going to be over here most of the day. Come visit with me, things like that. I usually, when I work with my farm clubs, we meet for 3.5-4 hours once a month. I'll move right along. Notice the CRB. These are the 3 to 3.5 year cycle. These are the shallowest breaks ever. The only thing that rivals the shallow breaks is when I synthesized it back to the Civil War times. Bang, bang. Notice, do we see all of a sudden this race in these big bars? Is this an upward curve, parabolic shaped rise? Parabola shaped, to be accurate? Yes, it is. Whenever it's done, history says it's going to come down 75% or more of what it went up. Oh, by the way, it usually does it in 10 to 20% of the time it took to go up. The bull market in gold that peaked in 1980, 18 months later, it came within $1 of 75%. It took 18 years to get that last dollar, but it got it. Notice on the weekly chart, you see all of a sudden, bang, 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 we got a bunch of big bars together. Hang on, guys. This doesn't mean we're going to stop. That alone tells me there's 80% probability that you're about to stop going up for time. But that's all it tells me right now. But it also tells me that that is high risk of topping. And the moment this thing comes back through a previous week's low, probability jumps to about 95% that it's done going up for months. Or longer. Oh, on a monthly chart, when you stop going up on a monthly chart like that, it's months to years typically. You notice that cocoa I showed you earlier? Remember that reference? I showed you those three big bars? And now we're making a new highs this year, 6 years later. Stopped us for 5.5 years. I'm not saying that if we peak soon in the grains and oilseeds that we're done. We could simply go through a correction of 2-3 years. We did from 1974 to 77 before we ran up into 1980 again. Here's the key, ultimately. A lot of foreign money has come into our treasury instruments. Thank God. But if the bond market were worried about this inflation being long-term, bonds wouldn't be going up. They'd be going down. But instead, we're coming out of a wedge of 4 years. On this are marked in the green arrows what are called 72-month turns. They've actually, these turned out to be 75 months, and I realized that what has happened, not only is the volatility stretched, so is time. And the light bulb actually went on to me last night on this, not on this part, but all of a sudden I'm looking at January was 72 months from the start of the bull run in soybeans. 72 is the most powerful turning time there is in the marketplace. It does not apply to all markets, but it's the most powerful. It's the most found across more markets than anything else. All of a sudden, it dawned on me last night. January was 72, February 73, March is 74. Do you suppose I start getting suspicious because these still turned on 75? The normal historical window is 68 to 73. Time stretched, a couple of months, we'll see. Dollar, long dollar goes down, gold goes up. What are grain prices likely to do? Go higher. But soybeans are running into time as well. So is corn coming up. Bond market shot up on the day that they threw the dollar overboard, on Martin Luther King Day. Shot up. Spiked above this little resistance. You break out, you test the next area, then you consolidate as a normal behavior before trying to go higher. This is the interest yields on long-term bonds. By not closing above that high, long-term interest rates are technically in a downtrend. When I bought the house I live in now, I went in over here to the bank and said, I want a mortgage. He says, you know, we can get you a fixed rate at 8.5. You know, we haven't had rates here. They aren't going to stay here. And I said, I know. Give me an ARM. Give me an adjustable rate mortgage. Because we were breaking out to the downside. I only used a 100-year chart to see that the trend was turning down. See, I don't predict, guys. I respond. The market had turned down. I bought gold, what, a week, 10 days ago, Vince? Something like that. I bought gold. It may be close to the top. Well, I put the stop into the profit last night. I bought gold a week to 10 days ago because it proved it didn't have a top, so I went back with it. Now, short-term rates swing. At a maximum, their swings will last about 3 years. So if the hike from 2003 to 2006 was about 3 years. Now, how far back down do we come? Classic bottom in a market is to swing up, swing down, retest, and then take off again. So I'm curious to see if we come all the way down and test the lows or if we start to bottom out. I could make a case that we're about to start bottoming out in short-term rates. About to. But I'm in no hurry to do anything with them because I don't think they'll move anywhere in any hurry. I'm just, we'll wait. Gold market. Remember I talked a little bit about these big bars? And these big bars, and these big bars. These big bars will typically be the birth of something or in the end of something. And sometimes they can be both. On a short-term basis, that was the birth. Or excuse me, that was the end of a bounce. But it turned out to be the birth of the overall up move. I happened to be doing a conference in Ontario, California, and just came in on that Friday night, right as we changed from September to October of that year. And people out there were telling me how they had bought call options on gold because it finally had turned. I said, what did you buy? That was in October. They said, next June, so we have plenty of time. I says, you don't have enough time. Because I already knew the probability was that, and when I went down to the weekly chart and daily chart, I could tell myself already, the probability was of going higher before a year was out was about 10%. So let's get in over here. If gold, April gold, closes below 900 on a week, it's done. Here's where we were at. Radio show, weekly ADX turned down in gold. I didn't have the benefit of it going to new highs. Gold's topping, bottoms and dollars bottoming. Gold went to a new high. It overpowered the indicator. They don't get overpowered a lot, but they do. That tells me that the force of throwing the dollar overboard so far is still stronger than anything else. Corn, 5.5-year cycle. Next low is due. Third Tuesday, August 2010, 1220, 1240. That's just a rough, wild guess in the dark now, shot in the dark. I did one of these meetings, and the gal in the back of the room had to be 100 years old. That's not true. She was probably 93. And I looked up when I said that, and this was in February, and I said about August, and I looked up, and I had one of my most embarrassing moments. I laughed. I said, she's writing it down. She had the last laugh. You only missed by a week last year. Corn tends to top in years two, three, or four of the 5.5-year cycle. Dollar adjusted, the corn topped over there, by the way. Years 2, 3, or 4 of the cycle. Last cycle low is in 2004. 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008 is year 4. Based on that, this is the likely year for a top. You notice anything about 1, 2, 3 big bars? Like Coco had? Be careful. Doesn't tell me we will turn. The moment this thing quits running, though, I want out. Here's the weekly ADX. First downturn didn't work. Second downturn probably will. I can tell you without looking that if we came back and took out last week's low, the weekly ADX would probably turn down. If we don't do it this week, then next week, if it takes out this week's low, it will probably turn down. Let's move on to get a few things hit here. July corn, same issue. Oh, by the way, 34-week cycle in corn. The last cycle, this told me how incredibly strong it had become when we only had 1 week down to mark the cycle. I knew that could happen. It's highly irregular, but I knew it could happen because there was a time when the corn made a cycle low and had 1 week up. Clearly turned right on scale, had a nice big up week, rolled over, went down for the next 33 weeks. Next cycle low is due in July. Does anybody know what the seasonal pattern of corn is? Climb into spring. 43% of the highs in the last 2.5 decades or so, and I'm about right. I didn't update these exactly. 43% of highs have been made by April 13th, yearly highs. Since freedom to farm came along, new crop corn, for 10 years running, made its life of contract low after May 1. Life of contract low on this year's December corn is 260. Last year it didn't. But every year since freedom to farm, corn has declined into the growing season. Even when it made a summer high in 1996, it was not the freedom to farm. It was the year it was enacted after it took effect. Every year it has declined into the growing season after May 1. Does that mean it will this year? No. Just the last 11 years, it's 100%. I watch for patterns. December corn, setting up here against the previous, having broken the all-time high. That's not even the right chart. Never mind. Broke out. I bet that thing could go to 550. Right now we're setting with an ADX setting up here, way up here on the daily, weekly degree of December corn. Way up here. Next time it turns, watch out. I don't have time to go through all of these. Read my newsletter. Here's a break of 540 on December corn is a backbreaker, in my view, on a closing basis. Probably sooner than that. My newsletter coming up this week is supposed to feature some of the corn targets. This is 2009 December corn. I'm waiting for a second ADX downturn over here. There, it's a 5, I think that's 27. Check the low yourself for last week. One thing I noticed very quickly, I am not a market strategist. I'm a market analyst, but something struck me. Here's December corn puts at the money. It's how I compare apples to apples. At the money, 576. The 580s are 75 cents. December 2009, at the money, the 550s are 86 cents, 11 cents more for another year. Well, I can't spend that kind of money. Well, you put yourself in a $4.60 floor. Then if corn goes to $34, is it really going to matter if you gave up 86 cents? No. My guys, I'm telling that forward sell, you better be prepared to buy some inexpensive call options in corn, not against moving up a buck, but against moving up another $5 like Minneapolis Wheat did. If we get a drought and the dollar's still going down, that 34 might be too bearish. I'm not really believing it's coming, but I know it's possible. December wheat has a top with 97% confidence that it will quit going up for months to years. There's a 3% chance if it goes higher. If it goes higher, it means it's awfully powerful. The main thing is I'm going at is if wheat quits going up, look out below. If gold quits going up, too. Wheat loves to ride elevator shafts without the car. It's just its personality. 34-week cycle in wheat due during July. I'm going to move you on. Soybeans. You really want to see this. Here we are, bang, bang, bang. Got a whole bunch of big monthly bars together. We're only now starting to get big enough. We need to wrap her up. We need to get you to this point. Here's the monthly ADX on soybeans. 10 times since early 1970s, it's peaked from above 40. One time, I had expected a cycle break right there. 9 times when the ADX peaked from above 40, it's been a multi-year high or low. Whenever this thing cracks, you're done, if history holds up. Last thing I'll say on all of this, no flashy ending. There's 100% correlation between extreme bull markets in corn and super bull markets in hogs. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. The one thing that can overpower the hogs and cattle is the domestic economy if it collapses. But even if it collapses, people tend to eat better. They'll focus on food, fiber, shelter, and energy. Folks, there's so much more to say. That's all I've got. I'll be over here most of the day. Take copies of that. Fill out this slip. I will tell you one thing, urgency. These expire on March 31st, and those are hard deadlines. If you don't respond for being at this meeting, you don't get the deal. You can leave them with me. You can send them back. The blue slips are separate. They're not tucked into the packet. You've got to grab them. So with that, I'd love to do questions, but we just don't have time to stay on track. I guess we'll have to do another radio show someday. Gotcha. Thank you.
Glenn Ring, everyone.